record. So we're officially recording. And then the other thing I have to do is make this statement to you. Say, the key objective of this interview is to serve as a research tool to document memories of the American chestnut in the southern Appalachian region. Information obtained in these interviews will be retained and made available for further use in efforts to promote a better understanding of the role of the American chestnut in Appalachian culture. So then I have to say, have you signed the participant identification and release agreements?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So now we can start. And the way I like to start usually is just, can I have you state your name, when you were born, where you grew up, some background information like that.
All right.
So you can go
right now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm J.J. Raines, physician. I was born in 1917 in Johnson City, Tennessee, and have lived or been connected with this area all my life.
Mm-hmm. So I guess one of the first things I wanted to ask is, do you have any firsthand memories yourself of seeing the American chestnut growing around Johnson City, or do you have any of those?
I've seen American chestnuts all over East Tennessee. My family liked to go out and camp and have picnics and bonfires, and we got out and stayed overnight. And we were always very happy, particularly since we were kids, that we could find some chestnuts because they had something we liked to eat. And that was why I have any recollection of the importance of the chestnut tree. For one thing, chestnut was the prime wood to build anything with because it was so sturdy and resist wear readily. And people would always want to get a house built with chestnut trees, chestnut wood.
Was y'all's house made out of chestnut, or
what?
Was your house in town made out of chestnut, or do you know?
Oh, this is really before that. This goes back to when people were not living the type of houses which they are now, and of course they're not using any chestnut wood now because they can't find it. Anybody that finds a house that was made of chestnut, there's no way of saying how much they could make from selling it for whatever anybody would pay for it. And it's now quite expensive. When the old chestnut wood can be found, but there is no essential American chestnut wood that is taken now. The American chestnut and some of the other chestnuts all got affected, but the American chestnut, which was the best one, got whacked a lot worse than the others. Some of the other chestnuts are around, but people don't cut them like they used to, and that's helping all of the chestnuts come back a little bit at a time. It'll take maybe a century if they have good weather and people handle it right.
Mm-hmm. So when you were young and you'd be out in the woods with your family, growing up, and you said, do you know how to identify a tree, or did you picnic in the same spot over and over, and you knew exactly where the trees would be, or?
Well, it does. Of course, one thing was, we just kids, we were out running around while the grown-ups were setting up the camp, and if we found a chestnut tree, we sat there and ate them. And they were always very good, and much better than any the other chestnuts as far as taste went. So,
how did you eat them, or how did you have to? How did you get them out of the holes and everything, the burrs?
We'd stomp on the holes until it came out.
You had shoes on, or would you be?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If not, we'd take a hammer and chisel of some sort, and take the burr off from the outside. Mm-hmm. And then always had a knife that we can take the shell of the chestnut off, eat all the meat inside.
Mm-hmm. So did you, so that would have been in the fall of the year, right?
Mostly, yes.
Yeah.
If we got to where, if we got into a place where the chestnut had not been picked up, picked over, that was always a big boon, because then we could have chestnuts much longer period of time during that. Wouldn't tell anybody where it was.
So did you ever eat them any other way than just raw?
Oh yeah, the women were always adding them to various things that they cooked for one thing, because they had a good taste, and they put a good taste in a lot of the vegetables and fruits that they would fix, and always gave them something to chew on.
Do you remember anything specifically that they would add it to? Do you remember any specific dishes or vegetables that they would add the nuts to?
Well, they would put them in with turnips and that sort of thing that they cooked, and enhanced the taste of the turnips and other vegetables.
So if you were gonna, when they would put those chestnuts in with their cooking, were those chestnuts that someone in their family went out to gather, or were they chestnuts they could buy at the store? Where did they come from?
Most of the time we'd go out and pick them up. They didn't last long in the store, because they would be bought up quickly after anybody put them in the store to sell.
Hmm.
At the end of the popularity of American chestnuts, because of the lack of them, Chinese chestnuts were not as hard hit by the blight, and there were a lot more Chinese chestnuts, but they didn't have any taste as compared with the American chestnuts.
How are they
and
different?
As a result, Chinese chestnuts were not eaten nearly as readily as the American chestnuts.
Okay. How are they different?
In taste.
They just didn't taste like anything, or?
I had a lot less taste of chestnut than the American chestnut.
Hmm. Okay.
And they did not add to any of the cooking as far as taste went.
Okay. So did you ever, so if you bought chickens at the store, where would they have come from?
Did chickens? Or
chestnuts. If you bought chestnuts at the store.
Oh, they would all be local. That had somebody had, a lot of kids that didn't like them, they'd pick them up and take them to the store and sell them, but they didn't last very long in the store at all. People were readily buying them up.
Do you remember, you said earlier that there was a railroad that came right through Johnson City. Do you have any memories of people putting chestnuts on the trains to go anywhere, or trading them farther off or selling them, anything like that?
Most of the railway trains were freight trains, and they had passenger trains, but they, with the advent of the automobile and improvement of the roads, that went down. And now, I'm not sure that there are any regular passenger trains, maybe in New York and around in places like that where mm-hmm. people get on the train for an hour to go to work someplace else. But most all of the trains now are great big long freight trains.
Yeah. So you don't have any memories of chestnut being at all used as a freight to send up north or anywhere?
I don't have any knowledge of that.
Okay. Well, what about, some people have talked about chestnuts being livestock feed and there being hogs let loose in the woods. Do you remember ever seeing that?
Yes.
How did that work? Like, how did they set their hogs loose like that? Or how did that work? How did they ever get them back?
Well, they come back to food. Hmm. They didn't have, it's only when an area got more heavily populated that they put fences up, not to keep them. It started out earlier than that with people feeding the cows and in a certain place every day, and they would come in to get the food. And they would graze other areas around that as when they were not being fed, or at the time they did not have food at that place which they were given food every day.
Okay.
And they handled them that way. Of course, they could, farmers could feed them in such a way that they could handle them, maybe with a strip of barbed wire around, and that'll keep them in because they won't get with the barbed wire at all. They only wants to do that.
Well, what about, so you were talking a little bit earlier about how people would like to build things out of chestnut, like houses and fences and stuff like that. Do you remember any specific buildings in Johnson City that were made out of chestnut, or did you ever cut down a chestnut tree, or do you have any stories about the wood?
Well, the wood was, as I stated, was used by the builders. If they were building any type of a building and it called for wood, they would want chestnut mm-hmm. because it was so sturdy and so much more practical. Now they're down to a lot of pine wood, which doesn't last near as long. A house that was built way back, 150 years ago. If they could, they would build it out of American chestnut.
Uh-huh.
And apparently Chinese chestnut is not, and the other types of chestnuts, are not, the woods are not as good as for structures as the American chestnut was.
Mm-hmm. So what about, I guess, like, you were in medicine your life. Did you ever hear about any kind of medicinal uses for chestnut? Any sort of health benefits of it, anything like that?
No, I don't remember that there was anything in my experience with that.
Okay. So it sounds like maybe in your family, did most families do camping and picnic trips like that, or do you think not as much as your family? Your family liked it more.
No,
than
I did. Think we were a little before people
what do you
accepted
mean?
That. We were just outdoorsy because we, with four boys in my family, we had enough activity that it was better if it was outside, not inside.
So when you have three brothers yourself?
I had a brother and a sister.
Okay.
And of course, I'm talking about my children. Because we did our camping and outdoors from the time I was little, and we went on the stayed overnight, had campfires. It got to the point, one point where we had a trailer that was homemade that we could put 4 3-quarter beds and 2 single beds on each side of that trailer and prop them up, and you could have about under circumstances you could put 5 people on either side.
Wow.
But that was not a very well taken type of activity. They got them kicking each other and all that stuff.
So what would you do on these camping trips? You'd just go out and hike around, tell stories?
Oh, yeah, we'd camp. If we were going somewhere, we'd usually have something there that we wanted to do, usually hiking around on up the mountain and so on. Mm-hmm. And this area of Tennessee and North Carolina was quite taken with that. And not many places have I found that that activity was as localized as it was.
Why do you think that is?
Just the people. That's what they like to do. Now, I can't get into that because I don't have any idea what brain function does.
Well, maybe it's just...
I've been trying to figure that out for too many years.
Well, maybe it's just so beautiful up here. People were more inspired to get out.
Yeah.
Walk around.
This is sort of a unique area in that it's on the way through to somewhere else in certain aspects, because it's easy to get along the highways that are here, and there's good, the traffic through the highway, through the area because of it.
Mm-hmm. And was that true traditionally too, like when you were growing up with the train stations and stuff, and also just, I guess, travel along like through Cumberland Gap kind of stuff and down into North Carolina? Was a lot of people, do you think a lot of people passed through there, through here?
Well, the Southern Railway came from, started in New York through Washington and through, Roanoke, Virginia, and Bristol, Johnson City, Knoxville, and on into Nashville. From Knoxville, some of it split and went down through Chattanooga on down towards Atlanta. Mm. And the other railroad was from Elkhorn, Kentucky, down to Spartanburg, South Carolina. And it was mainly freight, still is. That has been going on, or that railroad has, it's over 100 years old.
Wow.
And that was the straight shoot from the Midwest to the southeastern coast.
Mm-hmm.
And it was and still is, they have numbers of trains through both ways.
Mm-hmm. So was there a lot of logging and stuff that happened around here? Or what was the main economy when you were young?
Logging? There was some of that. Flooring, and this is, took up a bunch of oak, which is a little bit short in volume now, but before oak it was, you could get chestnut flooring. And that was the first thing that they stopped because of the shortage of the chestnut. And that was probably as much of any, as anything else. And of course, swapping boxcars and freight here between the two railroads, because they crossed pretty much at regular angles. They weren't, in other words,
there's a roundhouse here or whatever.
The Southern came down, as I said before, from Washington down through Roanoke, Bristol, Johnson City, Knoxville, and it split up down there, Nashville, and then on Chattanooga. And the Clinchfield was the shorter one, shorter in length, and it went from Elkhorn, Kentucky, where it was a hub for freight being sent to the coast.
What would the freight have been?
Any kind of thing that's used down along the shore that they would get there at There's a lot of lumber they'd pick up, and they one essential that I haven't mentioned that really was most important is coal. Because they would get the coal in Kentucky, and the coal trains would be twice as long as the others that go through, and they'd take it down in South Carolina and on down, because they didn't have any coal down there. Mm-hmm. That was the closest.
Were there any tanneries around here? Do you remember anything about a lot of people? Some people have said that the chestnut wood was used, they ground it up and use it for the tannin and the bark. Have you heard anything about any tanneries? Do you remember anything about that?
Using bark to for the tannery, yes. They had one here, but and it wasn't a great big one. But they did use bark for their tanning. The last of the tannery was knocked down about a year ago.
Deposit?
Yep.
Yeah, right.
They want to help you with your money.
Yeah. Let's see. One other thing I've been asking people about is, were there any like traditions or sayings, songs, festivals or gatherings, anything like that that concentrated on the chestnut that you can remember? Like I guess in your family it was a tradition to go camping, and part of that was gathering chestnuts. But was there any other kinds of traditions you can think of that were citywide or community-wide or neighborhood-wide that you would do and that involve chestnut?
I can't recall anything like that.
Was chestnut more of just like a snack that you would eat here and there, or was it something that was really a part of
every chance you got?
Was it kind of just a snack you'd have here and there, or was it actually like a part of? Would you eat chestnuts? Would you say every day, or once a week, or once a month, or?
Well, according to when you got filled up. You ate them until you got filled up, and then waited. It varied with various people. Some people would eat them every day that they could get them, and that worked on down to where somebody might eat them once every 3 or 4 weeks, something like that. You know, about like most anything, is personal desires hold sway.
What did the chestnuts look like when they were growing in the mountains here? What did they look like? How were they different from other trees?
The older ones were great big. I don't know any specific amount, but it seems to me that they had trunks up to 4 or 5 feet in diameter. And those, of course, people would get to first, and if they weren't protected, somebody that owned the land that they were on, why they go for building. But that was this has gone on the oak trees. It's the oaks are a little behind the chestnuts. Chestnuts went first, and the oaks. There's some along with the now the hemlocks are going. But the local people who used American chestnut first and then the others secondary in their building. And that was one of the main things that they used it for. And of course the chestnut fruit, that is just a real add-on.
Did your grandparents, do you remember much of, did you grow up around your grandparents? Talking to them at all? Or
yeah.
They lived around here too? They're
next door.
Oh, perfect. Well, did they ever have any, did they depend on chestnuts in their lifetime more than you did in your lifetime, you think? Or growing up anyway?
Well, I think they probably used more chestnut lumber than I don't remember that I have ever used any.
Mm-hmm. Their houses were made of chestnut?
They'd use it for the main rafters and that, where they needed strength. Mm-hmm. Because chestnut wood is heavier than most of the other woods, and because of that it was stronger. Mm-hmm. And wouldn't bend as easily, and was wanted by whoever could get a hold of them. Mm.
Well, do you remember when you first heard about the blight?
Well, we used to go to up in the mountains of North Carolina. And camped at the foot of Grandfather Mountain, and there were, when we started, and we were kids, that was
how old?
85, 90 years ago. Mm-hmm. Well, not 90, but about 75 or 80 years ago. And, because I'm just 90. And we got one place that we'd set up a tent, or set up a trailer, that is a good camping spot. One I particularly remember is it was at Thanksgiving. One year we went up there, and it snowed. And our parents gathered up some rocks, you know, 6-8 inches in diameter, put them in the fire, got them hot, put towels around them, and put them in our beds. And we, of course, slept good. And everybody had their rocks in the bed, and they'd sleep around them. But that was the coldest. And I, of course, that was below freezing. You can, nobody can think of it now. They had to do that. I'm sure there are some people somewhere has to, that would be apropos.
So you remember the blight when you were up on one of those camping trips?
I wasn't aware of anything like that when I was that age. Mm. It works slowly, and spread slowly, but it was deadly to the tree, and then as I got older, that is up the junior high and high school, I remember something was said, but I didn't pay much attention to it. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what it was. It didn't make much difference. Mm-hmm. As it went on, I became knowledgeable of what it was doing, because you could see it.
What did it look like?
Hmm?
What did it look like?
Well, when I say you could see it, you could see its effect on the wood itself. It looked like sort of a little white powder type of stuff, as far as I remember. And it was under, as I remembered, it was sort of under the bark, got in and did its work there. But it was slow, and it was well along before there was any big to do about it. And that's when people realized that they were not growing. The small trees were not growing. And if they were not growing up to even where they would be good lumber. And this is the way that most of these blights work on trees.
I think
there's probably maybe some Chinese chestnuts. They're about the only ones that have any big trees left, as far as I know.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. They're pretty resistant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And of course, they're nuts are not a thing that compares with the American chestnuts as far as taste and eatability.
Do you remember, like, kind of what the sentiment was when the blight came? So how old would you say you were when the blight came through here? Do you have any sense of what age you would have been?
Well, let's see. I guess I was maybe 15 years old. Probably when I first turned 15, 20. It was in that stage. In other words, I was still in school. And
was
as far as local schools.
Yeah. Was it something that the younger people cared about, or was it just the older people really cared about it, or did anybody care about it at all? Or?
Well, they didn't know what it was. It took a while to really get on to what was going on. And then they became seriously concerned about it. And, of course, as it went along, the trees stopped growing. Small trees, the ones that were not building any resistance, though in time, I think that time's going on now, they're probably building a resistance, which will take a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did anybody try to do anything around here to try to stop the blight from happening? Is there any actions taken that you remember?
No. A lot of talk about it, but I don't know. I don't remember anybody being able to do much about it.
Did you go on those? Do you remember when you were no longer able to find chestnuts on those camping trips? Did a time come when you couldn't find them?
Yeah, that was later on. I camped variously over a period of time. When I was after I went in college and through medical school, I had no contact with it at all. My mind was on something else. I wasn't thinking about that. And actually, I guess it was thirty years ago that I saw what it was, and I didn't know what to do with it. And I found out after a time that nobody else did. And since then, they've been working on trying to build immunity. Mm-hmm. And I don't know exactly how far they have come on that. But apparently, if it comes back, say in our generation, or your generation, it will be in protected areas that the trees will be allowed to grow and become great big again. This has happened to others.
Right.
Oak has gone through one of these. And I think there was some concern about the walnuts being affected in some way.
Yeah. So do you think that the loss of the chestnut had any direct economic impact on your family?
I think it happened so slowly it didn't have much effect.
Hmm. Okay. So what replaced the chestnut? If you didn't, if people didn't build their houses out of chestnut, what did they build them out of? If they didn't eat chestnuts as a part of their diet, what replaced chestnut?
I'm not acquainted with how much people ate donuts as a definite part of their diet, other than something that was pleasant to eat. In other words, they didn't eat it much for. You wouldn't sit down and eat a whole bowl of chestnuts with nothing else. If you did that, why, that'd last you for a while. But everybody liked them, and they were missed a great deal by the populace that knew about them.
Did some people not really know about them?
Well, some people that it didn't make any difference with.
Who were they?
Various people.
Just didn't like them for whatever reason.
Yeah, that concerned more of their type of thinking. But they didn't care about it. It didn't make any difference to them. Hmm. But a lot of us that miss them, be happy to get them again. Mm-hmm. And they tried to, after that started, they tried to make the Chinese chestnuts, but they got affected less than the American chestnuts.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, actually, there's an organization called the American Chestnut Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been working for about 20 years now, maybe 25, a little more than that. And what they did, you're right, that the Chinese was more blight resistant than the American.
Mm-hmm.
So what they've been doing is breeding the Chinese and the American. And what they've got now is a tree that's 15/16 American and 1/16 Chinese. And they think they've got a tree that will grow back in the wild in the mountains here around Johnson City and all through the Appalachian Range. And they're getting close to the point where they're going to be able to try to release it back into the wild and develop a plan so that they could just turn them loose and they'll start regenerating in the woods.
What does the chestnuts taste like?
I don't know. I've heard there's...
Or I doubt you can...
Oh, the ones in the American? Supposedly it looks like an American, it tastes like an American, it walks and talks like an American. But it's got this blight resistance of the Chinese.
Well, getting the blight resistance, did it take the taste away from them?
Not that I know of, but I don't know anything specifically about that. But I know what they were trying to do is breed in only those genes that had the blight resistance and keep all the other genes American.
Yeah.
But it's a hard thing to do, and I don't know all the specifics of it, but. What I've heard is that it walks and talks like an American, but it's got the blight resistance of the Chinese. And so I'm wondering, have you been involved with those efforts at all?
I just learned that along the way that they were trying to do this,
mm-hmm.
but I knew that would take it. A good while to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't do it in 4 or 5 years. You're talking 20, 30, 40 years.
Yeah. So do you think it's important to restore the tree to this area? And why or why not?
I think that ultimately they will do that with the chestnuts, and they will do that with the oak trees. Because the oaks have taken a big hit, and their little trees are coming along, but they don't they don't have the big old trees that they need to use, particularly in the building trades.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you think people use the chestnut today, or say they release these trees and they populate back in the wild, and you can go walking through the woods and see big old chestnut trees with lots of chestnut burrs all over them. How will people use the tree today? And do you think they'll use them the same way that people used them back when you were young, or differently, or how would that be different or the same?
I think the most people would eat every chestnut they could find. because there are not many people that look too far forward when you're talking about a big bunch of people. And they've got to use some little trickery to get their point across somewhere or other to the ones that don't have the desire to be part of the regrowth of the American chestnut.
How do you think we could get people more involved or interested?
I think that's probably a part of their bringing up. They do that like they do most other things. If they got interested in it, well, they would go hog wild, but if they just average, well, I don't think they would get too excited about it. Hmm. It took a long time to get where it is. It's going to take a long time to get back. Mm-hmm. I don't think they ought to take the chestnuts that they're working with and throw them out on the grocery counter. I think they ought to use them as, and I think with the scientists that are working with it, will do just that. That's part of their living and getting some enjoyment out of what they've done. And then those people are the ones that are going to try to build it back and do things and to do it, like keep it away and keep keep growing more and more and not destroying their base of operation, base product. I don't think you'll see it. I don't think, I know I won't see it. Mm. But from now on in 25 years, you'll be able to see the difference. But it'll take that long. Mm-hmm. 25-year-old chestnut tree should be pretty good size, foot in diameter or more, 12, 14 foot.
Mm-hmm. Do you think people will use the wood and eat the nuts in the same way that they did when you were young? Or?
No. When they get enough reproduction and growth, then I think you can go ahead and start eating more of the chestnut. chestnuts, but they'll need a little. Telling them what to do.
Some people have talked about when they were young that it was something that boys would do is stomp chestnut burrs with their bare feet to prove they were tough. Do you ever see any of that or hear that around here?
Not that way. I have seen and experienced walking barefooted in the woods and stepped on one, and I did not like it.
What did you do? How old were you?
I sat down, not on the burr, and started picking those things out of my foot. Yeah, they won't. I guess there would be some people somewhere whose feet were tough enough to do that, but not in any place where people wear shoes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it was more people in rural areas who had just walked to school barefoot, and they'd build up calluses throughout the year.
Yeah.
So, would people bring chestnuts to lunch in their school lunchboxes and stuff? Just raw ones, or?
Yeah.
Do you remember?
Go and use a stick or a piece of rock and get the burr off of it. Oh, done it. Just a whole lot when they were around, and pick the chestnuts out, put them between your two back teeth and crack them, and they'll crack this way and that way if you do it right, and you pull it out, pull both sides off, eat it.
That's great.
That's what you always try to do was to get that point in bottom teeth and squeeze with the upper teeth, and it cracks the chestnut this way and this way, and you can get it out. Eat it.
Were there any like games that you would play with chestnuts at all? I'm just thinking about the fact that they're these little handheld marble-sized things. Were there any kind of little games you could play with a chestnut, or people throw chestnuts at a target, or I don't even know.
It was more thought about eating them.
You didn't want to play with them, you just wanted to eat them.
I don't know. I didn't play with those things.
Yeah, I just thought about that. I never thought about maybe people playing with them. Were there any other things that you would eat out of the woods like that, or was chestnut the main one, or is there something else you would eat?
Oh, there are a number of things. Berries. And there you find a berry bush full of berries, or you can just sit there and pull them off and eat. And I've done that many, many times. And there are other things that you. Apples, pick them off the ground, mm-hmm. wipe them on your britches, just go ahead and eat them.
Would people ever bake chestnuts into breads or anything like that? Or do you remember baking Was there any special holiday dish you would have that would have chestnuts in it?
That doesn't strike a bell.
Okay.
I'm sure that various people would have various things to do with cooking, but I don't know specifically about what in their house they would do.
Were there any areas around here called, named after Chestnut, like Chestnut Street or Chestnut Hollow or anything like that?
Chestnut Ridge, there's one down somewhere. Where is it now? Chestnut Ridge. I think it's up in the North Carolina mountains. There's, you look on a map along this Appalachian Range you can find things named after chestnuts, or have chestnuts in their name.
Why do you think they were named after chestnuts?
Hmm?
Why would a place be named after chestnut?
Mm-hmm. I guess the commonest thing would be that there was chestnuts there, and they referred to that area. No matter whether it was chestnut trees that they were talking about or something else, they'd call it that. Well, down by the chestnut trees, you know, down Chestnut Hollow. And it was commonly used . So I did hate to see him go.
Do you remember do you remember how you felt when you heard about the chestnut blight, or when you realized that you wouldn't ever eat another chestnut again?
It really happened and came full force when I was away in school. And that was from 1936 to 1950. Yeah, I came back here and started practicing in 1950. But in that, when I was in college and medical school and internship and so on, I didn't think about any specific stuff. I ate what they served me, and that was it. Just fill up my stomach because I had a mind on medical stuff. Mm-hmm. I was going to get Ms. So-and-so to do what? Something she needed to do to get her heart working again.
Well, before I called you up today, when was the last time you thought about chestnuts or thought about chestnuts before? Is it something you think about very often, or just sometimes you think about here and there?
There's several places that where there were chestnut trees all along, that every time I go by, I think, I'd love to have those chestnuts in. One of them is the foot of my grandfather mountain. Turn off the highway between Blowing Rock and Linville. And those were the biggest chestnut trees that I've seen. There was one up there, I'm sure it was fully 3 feet in diameter.
You remember the exact spot?
Yeah. It's a Well, last time I was up there, it was a year or so ago, and they were encroaching on that with buildings of some various sorts. That's the area that the Scottish games are played up there in every year in the summertime.
I've heard of that.
Hmm?
I've heard of the Scottish games, I think.
Mm-hmm. And I found out that there are some Irishmen that have Irish games, but haven't heard anything about it for so long. And they kept it quiet. They're trying to build up the same type of deal that the Scottish games with the Irish games, and I think they're down somewhere in the Carolinas.
That would have been kind of a long trip to get down to Linville from here, wouldn't it? Or how long of a trip is that?
Oh, no.
Hour? Yeah, I guess Boone. I've been to Boone from here, and that's pretty close.
Boone?
Yeah.
Oh, it's...
I guess it's just an hour, hour and a half, something?
No, no.
Closer?
It's about, let's see, easily, taking an easy ride is maybe an hour. Boom. Linville is 45 minutes.
Are there any other things from your childhood or from kind of like the good old days that you lament or remember kind of similarly to the chestnut? Or in other words, is the chestnut sort of a symbol of kind of the good old days for you, or a time that's past? Some of that?
Well, the time has passed because the chestnuts are gone. But, I think very good of those every now and then, like you described in there. I wish you could have chestnuts again, sure. But, reality is reality. Mm-hmm. I've gotten to where if reality is that, I've got to go with reality.
It's true, yeah. I know you said you're not involved in the restoration efforts, but I'm wondering what do you think motivates people to try to restore the chestnut tree? Why do you think people want to restore it?
I think the people in the business of making things grow take it as a challenge. And I think to a lot of those people, they do things to make it work for them. And they get a big bang out of that. Scientists of all sorts. They're not thinking exactly, well, now, if I can make this work, Miss So-and-so is going to get so-and-so better. Most of them are looking, I want to get this thing done, so I'm going to help all those people, by not just one person. I think that's prevalent. And I think that's what motivates a lot of scientists.
Hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. That's interesting. So you're saying that scientists are motivated just, yeah, as a challenge to see if they can do it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why do you think they would have decided to take on the challenge of the chestnut tree as opposed to some other species? Or
because it's been hit the hardest.
So it's kind of like the, I don't know, the most dramatic kind of.
No, it hit the hardest, and it's one of the most renowned of things that have in that category. And there is, down the line, if they can get the growth of these chestnut trees back, and it'll be a personal pleasure for these fellows, scientific fellows that want to do it.
Yeah. Something that's kind of interesting to me is that it's kind of such a long shot, too, you know, that they're trying to breed this tree that can resist the blight, but not only does it have to resist the blight, but it has to be able to get tall enough to survive in the canopy, and they have to try to look into the future and see other diseases or blights that might come and hit it again. Like, that, who's to say another blight won't come and wipe out all this work people have dedicated their whole lives to? And I think it's really interesting that it seems like such a long shot, but people are so dedicated to it and care so much about it. And it seems to me like a lot of people who are involved in the Chestnut Project have a father who told them as a child about the chestnut blight and how the chestnut is sort of this little engine that could kind of tree. And do you have any thoughts on that, or do you think that's accurate? Or?
No, I think that there's some people that would treat this subject like that. Others would just say, well, let's kill that blight and get those trees working again. That'd be a different attitude. It comes down to people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you've been really great. It's hard to find people who really have good memories of the tree and remember it. Really remember it. Is there anything else you can think of that you, any memories of the chestnut, other memories you have? Anything you can think of?
I can think of places I've seen those large trees.
Yeah, I'd love to hear that.
Like the days of grandfather of mine, there was a couple in Boone on a hill back of, well, it's on the hill where that big building is up on top of the, you know about Boone?
I've been through there a couple times.
The big
hotel up there?
Huh?
Where there's like the Boone Hotel or whatever, the school?
It's something that they build up on there. I think it's the university.
Yeah, I think I've been up that hill.
That used to be a teacher's college like this one was here, and the one in Chattanooga. And it was started and run by, let's see, my grandmother's sister married Dolph Doherty, and he was president, and Bland Doherty was vice president. When Dolph Doherty died, Bland was made president of the school. and it's still it's a great old big place now. And I've been there for a whole bunch of times when I was a kid. And my uncle went up there, spent about 2 or 3 weeks every summer with his aunts. Place. That was a lovely family. They all worked together and got that place. I wanted to go to Duke School. And I thought, well, maybe Uncle Bland could help me out. I went up there and talked to him, told him I wanted to go to Duke to school. And he said, well now, buddy, I know who you want to talk to over there. I'll just write him a letter. I went over there to apply. I said that. And the fellow looked at me and said, so you're the one that Bland Daugherty was talking about.
So you went to Duke?
Yeah.
Pretty neat.
When the Duke family was really interested in that school, there was a niece of the guy that started that was up there. Her name was Mary Duke Biddle. And at that time, Duke was really on the high. And of course, that was way back there. That was in mid-30s.
Wow.
And since that time, they went through a period, and from where I was looking at it, I saw that it was going down. And I think they hit the bottom when they pulled all that stuff that they pulled on that 5 bunch of boys over there having a party, and somebody wanted the guy, the
lawyer
for the old girl that spinning her wheels. He lost his job and lost his ability to practice law over that.
Wow.
When they got through with him, he knew that he had been had.
Hmm.
And I don't know what he's doing.
Hmm.
But he was going to make a big deal out of that, and he was going to stick the hot poker in Duke.
Hmm.
And the guy that was principal of Duke, he wasn't much on the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And a bunch of professors over there that raised a lot of hell about those boys and get them out of here and expel them and this and that and the other. When it all wrapped up, the boys have taken them apart.
Hmm.
I think each of the boys, I think, is just to top it off, they've either gotten about $1 million out of that episode that they went through. I think that was the nastiest thing I ever saw. I didn't go for that from the minute they started that on the newspapers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been a couple of years now, I guess. But I didn't follow it through, but I definitely heard about it from the beginning. Well, is that going to do it? Chestnut memories?
I can't think of any. I have
pulled them all out of you.
I called, I went up to this end of town, is up on a hill, and it's covered with a forest. The old boy that lived there, his nephew has it now, but then he's rented it to a thing, but they've got a real jungle go from, probably 300 or 400 yards one way, 200 yards the other way. It's interesting. I was thinking, how in the hell am I going to get in there to see if there is a chestnut tree in there? And I called the nephew that's has charge of the thing. He rents this stuff out. But he said, yeah, go ahead and go in there and look. Says, I don't think there are any. I haven't found them.
Why are you hunting one?
Hmm?
How long ago was this?
Yesterday.
You just wanted to get, you? Did you think? Did you remember one being back there or something?
Well, it's been a long time since I've been there because I had no call to go there. Mm-hmm. But the old lawyer that lived there, he had it all cleaned up. This is sort of a morass of what they've got over there now. It's all built, grown up, whatnot. And the other place is right up here across. They've got a big dip back, and you go up a hill and a big dip and sort of a pool type of thing there. There's no water in it. It's not doesn't collect any water, but a lot of undergrowth and trees and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't see any chestnut.
Yeah, were you looking in those two places because you remembered some being there?
No, it would be a place that could grow one if it just happened, but I was just shooting in the dark.
Yeah. Okay, well, I think that was great. Thank you so much. That was, you had some really good memories. It's been